Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3, as we continue on in our series in the book of Genesis. This morning we are going to look at the fall of man. The fall of man. Being the week before Easter, I was thinking that the Lord would lead us to the reason why we have Easter, talking about the sin in the garden and that Jesus Christ was promised. And we are going to talk about that maybe next Sunday or the Sunday after that. But this morning we're going to focus on a couple things about this story. And there's a lot of things that we can learn in this story. There's much that we can gain. And just an understanding, as I'm reading through it and I'm looking at it, I see something. That there's nothing new under the sun. We see the attacks by the enemy here. What the devil does is try to cause Eve to fall. But we also see the mistakes that Eve makes in falling for the entrapments or the tactics of the enemy. So this morning as we look at this, I want us to kind of look at some things and help us to put on guard in the fact that we are in a battle, we're in a Christian warfare, and that the devil, the enemy, wants to attack us, and the devil and the enemy wants to harm us and harm our families. But also, I want us to see some of the mistakes that Eve made and also Adam made inside of this story to help us learn how to combat the devil and combat the spiritual warfare that we're in today. And as we do get closer and closer to Easter, the reason why Jesus Christ had to come, he had to walk that road, he had to die on the tree and die on the cross for us and raise again, was for our sins. And because of what happened back here, because of the sin in the garden, because of the fall of man. So some things I want you to remember. Now remember, as we look at the book of Genesis, it speaks in terms of revelation made to man rather being a record of discoveries made by man. When we look at this story and we read these books, we look for certain things and we're taught certain things. There's answers that are found in Genesis that cannot be found anywhere else. You have to go to the Bible to get God's revelation. He's telling us information about ourselves. He's telling us things that we could not find anywhere else. And the truth is, this is the final say and the final authority when it comes to mankind. So when you consider what's going on here in this story today, you have Adam and Eve made in a perfect state of innocence, also having a free will and been giving instruction. And here in Genesis 1 and 2, you see the value and the importance of this book, because if you skipped over chapter number 3, you went on through chapters 4 through 11, you would go from man being an innocent, perfection, fellowshipping with God, to a place that is filled with anger, jealousy, murder, lying, wickedness, corruption, rebellion, and judgment. And if you took out chapter number 3 or you skipped over chapter number 3, you know what? You would not know why that happened. Chapter number 3 is one of the, some people even call it the most important chapter in all the Bible. And in this chapter of the Bible, it teaches us why we are sinners. It teaches us why we are the way we are. And you might ask this question, well, where did all that jealousy and anger and murder and lying come from? And you know, how did it all begin? Where did sin originate with? You find all those answers in chapter number 3. Now, I don't believe that sin originated in the garden, but when it comes to man, sin originated in the garden here. So let's look here at this story and get a little bit of a greater understanding of the fall of man here. Chapter 3, verse number 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, upon the belly thou shalt go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help us this morning. Lord, just give us some clear understanding of different things we can do to recognize who our enemy is. Lord, to be on guard against this enemy, to look at the way he maneuvers, look at the way he attacks, and Lord, look at some of the mistakes that we make. And Lord, help us to be repentant of sins. Help us not to try to blame someone else. Help us not to try to cover our sins. But Lord, instead, let us desire to have a right relationship and right fellowship with you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I like to read a quote that describes this chapter number 3 that I thought was really good. It says, let me quote for you the statement of another concerning chapter 3. Here we trace back to their source many of the rivers of divine truth. Here commences the great drama which is being enacted on the stage of human history, and which will nigh 6,000 years has not been completed. Here we find the divine explanation of the present fall and the ruined condition of our race. Here we learn of the subtle devices of our enemy, the devil. Here we behold the utter powerlessness of man to walk in the path of righteousness when divine grace is withheld from him. Here we discover the spiritual effects of sin, man seeking to flee from God. Here we discern the attitude of God toward the guilty sinner. Here we mark the universal tendency of human nature to cover its own moral shame by a device of man's own handiwork. Here we are taught the gracious provision which God has made to meet our great need. Here we begin the marvelous streams of prophecy which runs all through the Holy Scriptures. Here we learn that man cannot approach God except through a mediator. In Genesis chapter number 3, we have some of the best or biggest or most important answers that we have when it comes to mankind. And there's some things I'd like you to look at. And there's two things we're going to focus on this morning. And like I said, in a future service, we're going to look at God's response. We're going to look at God and God's part in the garden and what God did and God's grace in the fall. But the two things we're going to look at this morning is first, the maneuvers of the enemy. And secondly, the mistakes of the beloved. The maneuvers of the enemy. And secondly, the mistakes of the beloved. Now, the first thing is the maneuvers of the enemy. And I want you to see here in verse number 1 what happens is, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now, we know that this is the devil here taking on the serpent. And the devil was the one that beguiled. We see that from other spots in Scripture. We learned that from other spots in the Scripture. And the devil is the one that tempts Eve to fall. And the devil is our enemy today. He is the one that we should be prepared to fight against. And you say, Pastor, an enemy? Aren't you making a bigger deal out of it than you should? Well, you think about how the Bible describes it. The Bible says that we are in a warfare. The Bible even tells us to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand withstand the wiles of the devil. The Bible speaks of the fact that we are in a battle, and it's a constant battle. It talks about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Over and over in the scriptures, you have a presentation that is giving that a Christian's life is a fight. The Bible even says, fight the good fight. The Bible even tells us to be prepared. The Bible even tells us that we are in a constant battle with our flesh and trying to do what's right. And the devil is the one that is trying to cause us, number one, not to receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, but number two is to destroy, if you become a Christian, to destroy the Christian's life. And when I read through this story, it reminds me of something. And when I come to chapter 3, verse number 1, it talks about the serpent beguiling Eve. It comes in a constant reminder of this number one fact, is that we do have an enemy. And if we have an enemy, we need to be ready and prepared to fight against that enemy. It reminds me of back in 9/11. I know that happened a number of years ago, but the first thing they had to do was recognize who the enemy was. Before they could ever go and attack Osama bin Laden or try to capture Osama bin Laden, they had to find out who had done that devastating act. And then they had to realize who the enemy was and then begin a battle plan on how to destroy the enemy. And that's what we need to recognize here. In this story, we see that this enemy maneuvers and causes Eve to fall, which causes Adam to fall. And in the end, death and sin is passed down to all mankind. There's some things I want you to think about. First of all, the enemy hates you. The enemy hates you. He says, you're using pretty strong words. Well, the Bible uses strong words to describe the devil. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, so here's the point. The Bible says the devil is looking, he is lurking, he is searching. And what is the devil trying to do? The devil is not trying to maybe mess up your life a little bit, or maybe hurt your family's life a little bit, or maybe hurt our country a little bit. He says he's looking to devour. He's looking to actually take, chew you up, and spit you out. The devil is looking to steal and to kill and to destroy and to do whatever he can in your life to bring harm to you and harm to your family. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. This is what the devil is trying to do. Why do we open up the door and allow the devil to come and do things in our lives? Why do we not put up the safeguards in our life? Why do we not enter into the battlefield, put on the armor of God, and fight against the devil? Because the devil truly does hate you. He wants to take your life and destroy it. He wants to devastate your life. We see over and over in scriptures, those who give in to the devil, how he has taken and destroyed their lives. We see what he did with Judas. We saw what he did with Saul. We saw many of the characters in the Bible that ends up in destruction because of the fact they did not recognize who the enemy was. They got a little too close. They played around with the enemy. And in the end, the enemy destroyed them. Think about Satan's promises. Satan promises the best, but pays with the worst. He promises honor and pays with disgrace. He promises pleasure and pays with pain. He promises profit and pays with loss. He promises life and pays with death. He promised Eve, here in this story, he says, you're going to be as the gods. He says, this is going to make you wise. And in the end, what does it do? It brings death and sin to all mankind. The devil hates you. You know, it is sad, and sometimes you heard, I've even did a little research looking at it. There are people out there in the world that says, well, I know that I'm going to hell, and I'm going to get a front row seat. I'm going to have a good time down there. And that's just dangerous and just uninformed talk. They do not know what hell is like. They do not know what the devil wants to do with their lives. They're willing to give in and do whatever the devil wants them to do. But in all reality, they do not recognize the great enemy that the devil is. The second thing I want you to think about is that the enemy does not play fair. The enemy does not play fair. You know, he does not look around, and he does not play by some set of rules. Now, let me preface this by saying that I know that God has control of everything, and everything that God has to go through God. And I understand, we saw that in the story of Job. We've seen that in other spots in the Bible where the devil was, that God's in control, and everything that happens in their life, God knows and God allows it to happen. But the devil just isn't fair in the way he plays. And you look at the story, he is not going out there playing by some rules and say, oh, no, 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 he can't do that. No, the devil just does not play by fair. And his temptation never delivers the promises that it gives. Think about it. If the devil had told Eve of all the consequences that would happen when she ate of the fruit, and she would have ran from that tree. If she would have saw all the sin, all the just all the horrible things that happened when sin entered into the world, all the sickness, all the disease, all the heinous crimes over the years, what would she have done? She would have taken off. But see, the devil doesn't have to work that way. The devil doesn't have to show you what you're going to end like. He doesn't show you the drunkards laying in the gutters or those that are killed by drunk driving. Instead, he shows you these commercials on TV of the quote-unquote beautiful people of the world getting drunk or drinking and things like that. He doesn't show you all the different things that go on. They've been having these different things, talking about spring break and how the college students flock down to different spots and how they act immoral. And I'm not saying that happens with all the college students, but they just go out and they act wild. They act like they're never going to be accountable. And the sex, drugs, alcohol, it's horrible what happens down there. I mean, it's repulsive what happens down there. And the young people today, their intention is to get drunk. Their intention to do these things. They're living wildly, and this is what they want to do. And you know what? The devil doesn't show them, you know, the unwanted pregnancies or the rapes or those that the falls, the dies, all those different abortions, all those things that happen because of the wickedness that they live in, how it's going to ruin their marriages someday and ruin their relationships with other people someday because of the fact that they live this way. The devil doesn't do that. Devil doesn't play fair. He doesn't play by that set of rules. The story is told about in 1896, Norman the Kid McCoy was the welterweight boxing champion. In one of his fights, he learned that his opponent was death. McCoy finally discovered this, and as they were nearing the end of the third round, McCoy stepped back. He pointed over to his corner, showing the other boxer that the bell had rung. When the other boxer turns to look at the other corner, McCoy then hits him with a powerful blow and knocks him out. Because he was deaf, he didn't realize McCoy was playing a trick on him. You say, that's just wrong. That's evil. That is wrong that they would use that person's deafness against them. You know what? The devil will use whatever he can against you to destroy your lives. He'll do whatever he can. He's not fair. So when you look at this, we play around too much with sin. We don't recognize what sin does to us. We don't recognize the consequences, and we do not recognize the enemy. If we realized we had an enemy, boy, we would stand up and fight. If we realized there was somebody that was coming to our house, and we knew that there was an enemy coming to our house and wanted to take our family away, we would do whatever we could to put up whatever type of protections, or we would flee to make sure our family was safe. But how come it is when we know we have an enemy in the devil and we do nothing to protect it against it and we do nothing to put ourselves in guard? Now, the maneuvers of the enemy, I want you to understand first, the devil hates you and he does not play fair. Well, I want you to look at a couple of the tricks or the tactics or the maneuvers he has here. Look what it says in verse number 1 at the end. He says, "And he said unto the woman, Yea, have God said unto thee, said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." So the first thing the enemy does, he gets you to question the word of God, or he gets you to question God's word. Now, we learn in the first installment of this series that in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And we learned it's by faith in the Bible that we believe the worlds were framed by the word of God, and that everything else that you find in this book is truth. And what the Bible is saying here is that the first tactic that he used to try to fool mankind is the same type of tactic he uses today. He tries to get you to question the word of God. Look what it says in verse number 4. "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." This is the same tactic he uses today. He gets you to get to the word of God. He gets you to question. You know what? Yea, hath God said. What he's saying is, did God really tell you that? Did God really tell you that you could not eat of all the trees of the garden? He tries to be very subtle in what he's doing. He's being very wise. He's acting as a serpent in the idea that he is coming to them, and he's not painting a bad picture to Eve. He's not saying to her, hey, look, Eve, let's get involved in adultery, and let's get involved in drugs, and let's get involved in all these things, because those things would not even touch Eve, because there was no other men around for them to have adultery. There was no pornography for them to look at. All the things in the garden was good, and all the things in the garden was great. But he comes to Eve and he says, look, if I can get them to question God's word, then I got them. And so often that's what happens in these scriptures. We want to take certain portions out. We want to say, oh, that preacher's just bringing something into the scriptures. He's kind of construing things to make his words sound good to get to a certain point. He's saying, Satan comes up to you, he slithers up to you, and he says to you, did God really say that? Or is that just that preacher saying that? Did God tell you that, or was that just what Adam had told you about the fruit? And they get you to begin questioning God's word. One of the worst things you can do is lose faith in the Bible. The Bible says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. If we believe this is his word, if we believe this is truth, it's not our job to question it, it's our job to obey it. The Bible says, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Now remember, get back to the key. If we got enough faith to believe in God's word, that God created the heaven and the earth, and we got enough faith to believe that we can have faith that God can save our souls from a place called hell, then we should have enough faith to believe in God's word and what God's word says, even if it's something that we do not like. Eve might not like the fact that she couldn't eat of the fruit. We don't really know what is in this story. All we see is that the devil came, and the first tactic that the enemy used was he got them to question God's word. This morning, is there something in God's word that you're questioning? Is there something in God's word? Do you wonder whether or not God meant to put it there or not? God meant to put it all there. It's been preserved for the ages, and it says it's been preserved through all generations. So this is God's word, and we need to learn to obey it. Now, what is it today that you're questioning in God's word? Does God really mean for me to be forgiving? Does God really mean for me to have this relationship with my husband and my wife in this way? What is it? Does God really mean for me to give? Does God really want me to do whatever it is? What are you questioning? Because that's one of the maneuvers and tactics of the devil. He tries to get you to doubt God's word. Not only doubt God's word, he also tries to get you to doubt God's goodness. He tries to get you to doubt God's goodness. Look what it says here in verse number 5. He says, for God doth, and we'll start in verse number 4. For the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. What the devil came next and said to him, he says, hey, look, Eve, you know what? God didn't really mean that. See, if you don't eat of that fruit, you know what's going to happen? You're going to miss out in this life. He says, if you eat of this fruit, he says, you're going to become as the gods. He says, you're going to know the difference between good and evil. He says, you don't know that yet. You're missing out by listening to God. And that's the exact thing the devil was telling him. He says, you need to learn to compromise, because if you don't compromise, if you do not learn to maybe change a little bit, you're going to miss out on so much. This is one of the tactics the devil uses. How many times and how many young people say, I can't follow God, I can't serve God now because I want to do what I want to do. I want to have fun like I want to have fun. And that's what you got, all those young people down in the spring break that's down there partying and acting wild and acting crazy because they just want to live. They don't want to miss out on anything. But you know what? That's a lie from the devil. You see, the devil knows that the goodness of God will bring people to repentance. The Bible says in Romans 2:4, or despises thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. When mankind knows what Jesus Christ did for them, when mankind considers what Christ did on the cross for them, and they see themselves in their wicked state, then they're going to realize by the goodness of God, he provided a sacrifice, he provided a way, and they repent of their sins, and it leads them to salvation. See, here's the problem. We buy into the devil's lies. We listen to the devil when he says, well, did God really mean that when he said it in his word? We listen to the devil when he says, if you live for God and if you serve God, you're going to miss out on so much. But there's nothing that we're missing. There's nothing good that we're missing out. God is the one who created us. God is the one who breathed into the nostrils and we became a living soul. Don't you think God knows what's best? Wouldn't we all agree what was best for mankind was for Eve not to eat of the fruit, for Adam not to eat of the fruit? Imagine how wonderful the Garden of Eden was. Man, to think about the greatness. But you see what enters into the world through sin. You see that chapters 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, you see nothing but hatred and jealousy, anger, all these things. Where does it come from? It starts right here. Where does all the problems of our lives come from when it comes to sin problems? Many times it starts right here. When we begin to start questioning God's word, and we begin to start questioning God's goodness. God is always good, and God is always right. God is allowing things to happen in our lives, sometimes that maybe we don't understand, but it's to help us, to draw us closer to him, to learn from him, to see that we need him, to become dependent upon him. So we're in a battle. We're in a warfare. So many people don't even realize it. So many people don't even get up in the morning and put on their armor. So many people in the morning don't even get up and do anything in this idea that I am in a battle against Satan and I need to do something in order to fight in this battle. So the first thing I want you to see is the maneuvers of the enemy. The second thing I want you to see is the mistakes of the beloved. The mistakes of the beloved. You say, Pastor, that word beloved, I was looking for a way to just put in there what God's creation is. You know, God loved Eve. God loved Adam. God loves mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So these are the mistakes that the beloved makes. And in this story, we see many times things that are even today that we mess up on, that I think we can learn from the mistakes of Eve today and Adam, so we can learn how to combat against the devil. The Bible says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created by him and for him. Jesus Christ, everything was created by him and for him. So God loved the world. Christ, he created this world. Shouldn't we be living for him? See, the devil, he's our enemy. He's trying to get us to compromise. He's trying to get us to sit down and reason and talk with him. Heard a story once about a man was out hunting and he saw a bear. The big giant bear was there. He raises his rifle to shoot the bear, and the bear speaks to him. The bear says to him, he says, hey, before we do this, can't we just sit down and have a conversation? Can't we work something out? And the hunter pulls out his gun and sits down. They talk, and the bear says, look, all I want is a full stomach. And the guy says, look, all I want is a fur coat. After a few minutes of them talking back and forth, the bear gets up and leaves. And everybody's happy. The bear has a full stomach and the guy has a fur coat because the bear ate the guy. You never get what you want when you compromise. You never get what you want when you compromise. And that's what the devil wants you to sit down. He wants you to sit down. He wants you to talk. He wants to say, hey, look, I can give you this. You just got to question God. You got to question his goodness. When you sit down to contemplate sin, you're going to be in trouble. That's the first mistake. The first mistake is contemplating wrong. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 6. It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to desire to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof. Now here's the thought here I want you to get. Is that the woman saw that the tree was good. The woman sat and she was talking to eat. She was talking to the serpent. If she wasn't visualizing it, I don't think she would have ever sinned. She was near the tree. She was looking at it. She was being tempted by it. You know what? If we truly want to fight against the devil, we need to learn what the Bible tells us to do is flee youthful lust. Flee also youthful lust, follow after righteousness, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, a tree was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes. And the Bible gives a reference here. The devil works the same way. It's the same way he tempted Christ. Talked about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. The lust of the flesh was the tree was good to eat. The lust of the eyes was the tree was good to look at. The pride of life was the tree was a desire to make one wise. The devil works the same way. He tries to get Christ when he shows him the stones, when he shows him the kingdoms, when he shows him all those different things. He's trying to get them to fail. So we need to be careful. First of all, one of the mistakes Eve made, she began to contemplate wrong. When you begin to start thinking and questioning God's word and questioning God's goodness, sometimes you look at something and say, you know what, is it really wrong for me to do this? And you'll begin to look. You say, well, it's not going to hurt me to look at it. You know what, that's the first step, looking at it. The lust of the flesh, when you begin to look at something, then that's when you're getting, many times the devil has you. You need to be careful what you look at. Next thing is, I want you to see is another mistake we have is found in verse number 3. We see that Eve adds to God's word. Another mistake that the beloved makes is adding to God's word. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. If you go back and you look in scriptures, nowhere does God tell Adam that you could not touch it, that you were going to die just because you're touching it. And that's what Eve does. She makes a mistake here because she adds to God's word. Now the liberal, the atheist, they try to take away from God's word. The cults today try to add to God's word. God warns against this, and he says that you cannot be saved by keeping the law. You cannot be saved by adding to scripture. But many times that's what people are doing. One of the mistakes that we make today is we add to scriptures. We try to put a yoke upon people that really God has never intended for us to place. This is what Satan is trying to do. He is trying to take Eve and put her on a chain. And we got to remember, it is so important not to add to God's words. Is there something today that you're adding to God's words? Another thing is, a mistake that she makes is that she trusts her own heart. She trusts her own heart. Look what it says at the end of verse number 6. And it says, she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So she trusts in her own heart. She's brought to this decision. She's listened to the devil. She begins to question God's word. She begins to question God's goodness. So she has God's commandment over here, and she has the devil's opinion over here. And then in the middle, she has a choice. Am I going to listen to God, or am I going to listen to the devil? Am I going to listen to my own? So what does she do? She begins to reason in her own heart what is right and what is best. This is dangerous because our heart is desperately wicked. The Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we need to be careful not to listen to our own feelings and our own heart. The Bible says, be not wise in thine own eye. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. The Bible says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto the counsel is wise. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Today, I want you to understand one of the mistakes the believer makes is not only do they add to scriptures, not only do they contemplate doing wrong, but they begin to trust in themselves. Another thing that I see is a mistake that many times believers make today, that is what they do is in verse number 6, she eats of it without considering the consequences of sin. Not considering the consequences of sin. Are you living a life today not even considering that someday you'll stand before God? That's how those young people want to act is, hey, let's all eat, drink, and be merry. They never give consideration to what the consequences are going to be like. Christians, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Bible also says, be sure your sin will find you out. There is a payday someday. And it may seem like you're getting away with your sins. But we need to learn not to make the mistake that someday we will be paying for our sins. Imagine this story here, what happens. According to what the Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Here it is that because of this sin, the consequence was an Adam eating of sin. I get it, it was Adam more than Eve, that it has been passed down because of the sin that Adam did, passed down through all generations. Man, what a huge consequence. But the mistakes we make today, as many times we'll go out and live whatever way we want, never considering the consequences. Believe me, what you sow, you will reap. Don't make that mistake today. Think about not only did they not consider consequences, they try to cover up their sin. Look what it says in verse number 7. Verse number 7, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. See, most people believe they can cover up their sins. They believe that they could do some good or something righteous and cover up all the things they've done wrong. Hey, I can go out and live like the devil as long as I show up to church on Sunday morning. I can go out and live like the devil as long as I pay something or give money in the offering plate, or if I pay a penance, or if I do this tradition, or I do this ritual, or I make this confession to man. If I do any of these things, I can make myself right before God. And Adam and Eve, you don't see them crying out to God saying, God, we've done wrong. Please help us. What do? They try to cover up their sins. And this is exactly what religion is. They try to rub something on the outside, but Christianity is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Most people believe they can cover up their sins, but what Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is Christ. All the other religions try to tell you if you do this, this, and this, you can cover up all those wrong things, or Jesus Christ says you need to admit the fact that you're a sinner and that you need his help to save you. See, you can't cover up your sins. Many times that's what the beloved does. They try to cover up their sins. They try to think, okay, as long as I keep on teaching, or as long as I keep on serving, or as long as I keep on giving, then my sins won't really hurt or affect anyone. Just a couple more. Verse number 10, one of the mistakes we make is they try to hide from God. Some people actually think that if they do something in the dark that no one will ever know. Some people actually think that they can get away with something and that nobody will ever find out. The truth is, you cannot hide from God. Isn't it sad that sometimes you got people and you confront them with their sin and the evidence is there, it's open, it's pretty much self-explanatory. You ever have a kid that says, oh, I didn't do that, and they're standing there and they're guilty and you've watched them do it? No, I didn't do that. They're trying to hide their sins. They're trying to hide from God. And that's what happens in verse number 10. He says, I was naked and I hid myself. It's amazing that Adam thought he could hide from God. But this is a sad mistake that many of us make today, is that we think we can hide our sins and that nobody will ever find out. God knows about them all already. That's what he wants us to confess him. It's not like we're telling him anything he does not already know about us. He knows our hearts. The Bible says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. We cannot hide from God. Jonah tried to do this, and where did it get him? And many times we have tried to hide our sins when God is looking for us to be repented of them. You look at the story here, what you do not see is Adam and Eve confessing their sins and asking for repentance. What you see is hiding from God, trying to cover up their sins. And next to the last point is blaming God and others for their sin. Look what it says in verse number 12. This is another mistake they make. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Adam has the nerve to say, look, Lord, yes, I did this, but you know that woman you gave me? Isn't it amazing that sometimes we sin in our lives, we do things that are wrong, and we say, God, this is your fault. You put me in these circumstances. You gave me that sickness. You put that woman or that man right in front of me. You made me do this. Isn't that sad? That's what Adam's saying here. There's nothing new under the sun, people. We do this sometimes. This is a mistake that many times Christians will make, is that they blame God. Well, God, that person treated me wrongly. Because they treated me wrongly, that's why I responded this way. No. We are all accountable for ourselves with the sins. We are not a servant to sin. There is no sin that we have to do. If we're a Christian, we've been freed from that servitude of sin. And we do not have to sin today. And we should not try to blame God. Not only does he try to blame God, he also tries to blame his wife. Look what it says here. It says in verse number 12, it says, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave of the tree, and I did eat. You know what? He didn't have to eat of that. I know there's different reasons and purposes that why he did this, but you know what? A repentant heart is an honest heart. Adam got caught. He got caught with the goods. He got caught with his hand in the cookie jar. He had done wrong. Everyone knew it. But what does he do? He tries to cover it up. He tries to hide it. He tries to blame someone else. Christian, what is it in your life today that you're hiding? What is it in your life today that you're blaming? Say, I can't do that to my mate because they're just so wrong. They're just so bad. I can't live for God because my pastor doesn't preach good enough. I can't live for God because my mom or dad won't let me. I can't do this. I can't. You know what? We like to blame it on everybody else. That's a huge mistake. We need to stop blaming others and be honest and repent of the sins that we're a part of. One last thing I want you to think about is another thing is that a mistake that we make is trying to get others involved in your sin. Look what it says in verse number 6. At the end, he says, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. I wrote down there, it says, the worst mistake you can make is listening to your wife. But then I crossed that out. That was a joke. As Adam listened to his wife. Now, some of the men are smiling. At least they woke up. So now here's the thought, is that when you're in misery, misery loves company. And people will try to pull you down and get you involved in other people's sin. You know, I do not know the mind of Satan. I don't think anybody can know that. But what are some of the reasons why the enemy attacked Adam and Eve? You know, he sinned. He was cast out of heaven. No longer could he have that right relationship with God. And he wanted to make sure that other people could not be rightly related to God. He wanted to be the God of this world. He wanted to be God of this people. How did he get that to happen? He questioned. He got them to question God's goodness. He got them to question God's word. And Eve made a lot of mistakes. She tried to add to God's word. She tried to hide her, Adam and Eve tried to hide their sins. They tried to blame it on someone else. They tried to cover it up. They tried to do so many different things. They tried to get other people involved in it. There's a lot of mistakes here that they made that I believe we can learn from. But here's the first point that we got to go back to. The maneuvering of the enemy. Do you really think that you're in a battle today? Because I think for most people today, church is just a game. They don't even think that a Christian life, Christian warfare, is all just something the preacher preaches about to try to scare people into doing right. You know what? It is a real battle. If you try to live for God, living for God, you're going to have a struggle on your hands. You're going to realize the devil's going to fight you every point, every step, and you need God's help. So we need to recognize that the devil hates us, recognize the devil does not play fair, recognize that the devil's going to try to get you to doubt God's word, and recognize that the devil's going to try to get you to doubt God's goodness. Don't make these mistakes that Eve made. The great thing is that later on in it, God provides them. God comes seeking them. God provides grace during the fall, and God sends his son down the cross to die to pay their penalty for their sin. And if you've never been saved, that's what Easter is all about. Because of the sin that happened in this garden, sin nature has been passed down through Adam to all mankind. And death, eternal separation from God, has been passed down too. But Jesus Christ was sent to reconcile that, and he is giving us a way of salvation. And if you've never been saved, let me encourage you today. Don't believe the lies of the devil. A lot of people will say, well, you can't believe the whole Bible. You can believe the whole Bible. Yeah, a lot of people will say, well, you can't, all the bad things are happening on, then how can you say that you have a good God? You know, the devil come to you and try to get you to doubt God's word and doubt God's goodness. Question is, are you going to give in to the enemy? Are you going to be one of his casualties? Are you going to be one of those that go out and live for themselves? Or are you going to be one that stands up and fights and does not add to God's word, and it does not try to hide their sins, does not try to cover them up, it does not try to blame on other people? Instead, they want to confess, and they want to repent, and they want to forsake those sins so they can have a good fellowship with God. This morning, what mistakes are we making? The things that we learned about Eve, these are common things that many of us face over and over. You think about it, we struggle with some of the same things. We contemplate what's wrong. Many times we want to add to God's word. Many times we like trusting in our own hearts. Many times we don't like having to consider what are consequences for us. And no one likes to do those things. But that's how you're going to fight the battle, is by recognizing the maneuvers he has and the mistakes that she made and he made, and will teach us how to fight in this Christian battle. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.